Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Emilio Desperado. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about real estate, not only here locally in Rhode Island, surrounding Massachusetts and Connecticut, but also across the country in Canada. We've got a couple special guests on today. We've got Zachary Levesque of North Point Bank. I'll introduce you to him in a second. Anthony Hitt, the CEO of Engel & Völkers, and several others. So this is going to be a really fantastic show, jam-packed with information. But I want to introduce my friend Zachary Levesque here with North Point Bank. They are one of the top lenders in the state of Rhode Island. They're a depository bank as well, which makes them a lot different than some of the other mortgage brokers, okay? So they're a bank, they hold your mortgage as well in many cases. And they also have a slew of portfolio products that are unique to them and maybe unique to your situation. So we're as the weeks go on, we're going to learn more and more from Zach and his team in regards to some of the offerings that they have. But more importantly, today we're going to be jumping in talking about the market in a minute. A couple of other things I want to mention is that Zach is the director and branch manager here in downtown, and they have an office right in the Turk's Head building. He's got quite the team. These are all top-notch individuals, the best in the business, and they can loan across all 50 states, okay? Fantastic bank, and I can't speak highly enough about them. I'm excited to have them on the program. You can find out more at northpoint.com /home lending/overview. But go ahead and go to northpoint.com, and that's with an E. So Zach, Mr. Zach Levesque, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me join.
And I say welcome back to the program because for our long-term listeners, about 8 years ago, Zach was one of my first guests ever on the program. So yeah, it's good to have you back. Zach, you know, the inventory and the rates and just the market going back and forth, kind of volatile. It's really hot right now. And then all of a sudden we hit a wall and then hot again. I'm curious to hear your take on this.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's really no historical data for any of us to really predict where the market's going to go next. If you turn it on TV, differing news channels, there's always different opinions on where the market's going to go and what's driving the low inventory, what's driving higher rates. But, you know, we've seen a low inventory market for now, what, 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Initially, once interest rates plummeted down, inventory started to shrink because there was such a frenzy to buy at low interest rates and low mortgage payments. What's happening now is I think people have gotten a little more comfortable with a higher interest rate market. It's really propelling them to make offers on properties now. There's sort of like a digestion period when interest mm-hmm. rates go up. And we saw that over the last 8 to 10 months. I think a couple months ago, the sentiment was that interest rates were going to go down maybe by Q1, Q2 this year. It doesn't look like that's going to happen because of all the inflationary issues that we have and because of what the Fed is doing to battle inflation. So I think the period that we're in now is a digestion of higher interest rates from the consumer, coupled with the fact that inventory is again historically low. And I'm sure that you looked at inventory over the last couple of weeks. I think we're in the low 600 units for single families in Rhode Island, which is, it's actually mind-boggling when you think about how many people are actively out there looking to buy homes. They're in the thousands. So we're back to a buying frenzy, it seems to me.
We absolutely are, Zach. Let me ask you this. What has been the rise in pre-approval applications? I know about a month ago, it was a rise of 28%. Have you seen, you know, that continue to rise on your end?
So about 45 days ago, I believe, 45 to 60 days, we saw interest rates kind of plateau, and then they started to come down a little bit. And yeah, we saw about a half a point interest rate movement down. And the crazy thing is just that little movement of a half a point created, to your point, a 26 to 28% jump in mortgage applications. So right now, consumer sentiment is teetering on interest rates, on what's happening with the financial markets, geopolitical concerns. And it seems to me that that levers interest rates. So if we see an uptick in interest rates, which we have over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I think if interest rates don't come back down to where they were 45 to 60 days ago, we're going to see reports showing that a mortgage applications went down maybe 25 to 28%, maybe in February and March, which is not good news. The issue is, no matter how many mortgage applications there are, whether they jump 10%, 20%, 30%, it doesn't solve the problem of low inventory. So, you know, mortgage applications could jump 200%. But if there's still only 600 single family homes listed in Rhode Island, it doesn't really matter short term because there's just not enough homes for people to buy.
So, I mean, for our listeners, I want you to think about this for a second, right? We've got 39 municipalities, okay? And if there's 650, that's about 16 to 17 units per town.
Yeah.
That, and we've got a housing stock of roughly 450,000 homes here in Rhode Island, okay? So that's pretty intense.
Let's do the math on that, right? So what's 400, what percentage of 650 is 450,000?
Yeah, I can figure that out right now. So
it's probably like one in about every 800.
Yeah, 0.0014, you know, so that's, what is that?
Which is wild.
0.1%, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Which is wild.
You know, so it's the market right now, as far as sellers is going, is extremely, extremely hot. And you know what happened recently, like Rhode Island's a little insulated from what's happening in the rest of the country because, number one, our inventory remains extremely low. We also have a lot of buyers coming from out west. Zach, I can't even tell you how many people are coming here from, you're seeing it too, I'm sure, from California, from Seattle, where the prices are so sky high, but also from Boston. And they're still pouring into Rhode Island. In addition, you now have the Rhode Island Housing Program, okay, which I'm sure everybody at this point has heard of, where they're giving the $17,500 grant to first-time buyers up to $546. So this has really pushed more buyers into the market in such a very low inventory time frame. It's been intense out there. We're seeing bid wars. We're seeing, you know, lines out the door. We had 19 people in one of our listings in Barrington. It was on the market. It's the three to four bed, 1.5 bath Cape. We had a line down the road, Zach. It went with multiple offers, far over asking. And this is something we see all around the state.
Yeah, and that happened, what, within the last 3 weeks, it seems like this happened, right?
Last week it happened, yeah. Yep. Hey,
I'm talking about the reversal in the buying frenzy. So you think in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a complete turnaround?
Yeah, we have. Well, actually, the rest of the country, for the most part, is seeing a decline in prices. Here in Rhode Island, we're seeing an uptick. And you brought the point in of our inventory, but also of the migration patterns of people coming here as they find it still opportunistic to purchase here in Rhode Island. Everything from second homes to investment properties. You know, Rhode Island is still a hot spot as far as real estate. And I see that happening pretty much for the rest of the year unless interest rates take a huge tick up.
Yeah. And another thing to keep in mind, I talk to a lot of people. I have a lot of real estate connections down in Florida, not as much on the West Coast, but Southern Florida, Naples, Boca, even Boston, you know, these more affluent areas where the average sale price is higher. I think what we're seeing in those pockets that have started to see potentially lower prices, that's because inventory has risen, right? Normally, right. If inventory starts to rise, prices start to plateau, you have to price more competitively as a realtor, right? Mm-hmm. The difference in these niche markets is you're seeing more properties come to market, in my opinion, in a lot of cases, because those sellers are potentially cash buyers on the other end, and they don't have to digest higher interest rates. Correct. So I think that's one of the things that we're up against in Rhode Island, where there's not as much cash offers. I'm sure there's many, but compared to Southern Florida, Boca, you know, where your average sale price is over $1 million, a lot of these clients just buy cash and they refi down the line because they think and know that at some point rates are going to come back down and there'll be a refinance opportunity and they'll get their cash back. So I think that's a factor that's affecting us here, less cash buyers, which is why you have more apprehension from those cash buyers to list their house, right? Because they have to get a mortgage. So why would you list your house if you have to digest a 6-7% rate and you're holding a 3-4% mortgage? That's what we're battling against.
You know, a lot of our clients are, I would say, in their mid 40s up to their mid 60s, Zach. And especially, I would say, the mid 50s and up, what they're doing is they're putting their homes on the market here and they're moving south. They're moving down to Florida still. I mean, in droves, okay? We relocate and we've got shops all over the country. We've got 51 down in Florida. We're in North Carolina, South Carolina, everywhere, right? And we are constantly relocating people down south. So they're selling for a super premium here. But I just sent some clients down to Jacksonville, Florida, and I was actually surprised. They went up and they put a bid on a house. They went up only against one other buyer, but they got far under asking price. So I think that kind of shows like the trajectory of where things are going in other places, and they're able to capitalize and benefit from what's happening here.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Florida, I think there's so many reasons why Florida has become so hot, you know, and not to harp on Florida, but I think you and I know the market well, and it's important to compare our markets to other markets. There's a political movement down there. Florida has a very different ideology when it comes to how to live and the political side. So I think that's really attractive to some people that are in the Northeast. Maybe they like the ways and policies down south. And also you have the state income tax benefit of living down there. I think as consumer sentiment changes and as everybody educates himself more, it's so easy to educate yourself on taxes, real estate, stocks, everything. You just pick up your phone. I think people are really starting to realize the benefits of living in those areas. And you talk about some of the West Coast people coming here. What are they taking advantage of in Rhode Island? Well, less taxes, right? Property taxes are a lot less. So there's a lot of benefits in the ocean state as well. There's the ocean as well. So it's really hard for us to look outside of our market here. But it's important for us to do that just to see maybe where the trends are going. But ultimately, the inventory problem needs to solve itself before we see prices start to flatten out, in my opinion. I just don't see a deterioration in the real estate market until that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think we're about 3 to 3.5 million homes shy of having a normalized inventory. So we're pretty far off, especially here in Rhode Island, the Ocean State. I mean, we're not building a lot of new homes.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of land. And unfortunately, the cost to build has skyrocketed. So I just had a conversation with a builder yesterday, said, I'm not building any more homes. I'm going to continue to flip homes because it's just too expensive to build a house right now. And the margins aren't there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's intense. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of new construction too. While we're on that topic, people are going in and they're like, hey, where's the mirrors? Like, why isn't there light fixtures? Where's like the door? Yeah. Like all these little things you would expect with a house, right? Like you see builders have to cut back on, and they're giving a small allowance, but that allowance does not cover anything near what you need. And it's because the builders are getting hit with all these costs and they have a profit margin to keep, or else there's no incentive to do it.
It's not, most of the time it's not a money grab. It's when you put things in contract and you know what the price of wood and lumber and all this is. And then four months later, when you source it and it's 28% higher, what do you do as a builder? You know, you have to, most of the time you have to pass the cost on to the buyer and to the client, which people don't like, but we're in such a fluid inflationary economy that anything can happen with prices. I mean, it's a little scary.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But, you know, hopefully this will kind of take course, correct itself. I believe we'll be all right. I mean, we always, you know, teeter back and forth. Let's see what happens here. But there's always opportunity in any type of market shift. Okay. And I know guys like you are super aware of or identify these opportunities for your clients, as do we, you know, and we're here to advise you, our listeners, and we're here to help you out with anything you need. And I want you to feel free to reach out to Zach LeVake over at North Point Lending. Him and his team, they're fantastic, top notch. It's 401-773-7231. I'll say that again, 401-773-7231. They can help you with your mortgage. They can help you refinance if need be. And they can also put you in a portfolio loan that's specific for you. Ask him about his portfolio loan products. And they can also help you buy in Florida if you want to escape Rhode Island and anywhere else.
Yeah, and I'll throw this out here too. If you wanted to call me directly, 401-965-8290. Always down to talk about the market, real estate, whether it's realtors, buyers out there. love to talk real estate. That's what we're doing here now. And Emilio and I were pretty much born to talk about real estate, I think.
Oh yeah, we absolutely love it. We're entrenched in it. We're in the trenches with our teams, and we're taking care of business. Good to see you, Zach. Thanks
you
for being
well.
Here. Zach LeVake of North Point Bank. Good stuff. Hey, stay tuned. We've got a great show ahead of us to continue. And this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show powered by North Point Bank. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. Today, we've got John LaPointe of LaPointe Insurance, and we're talking about why some homeowners don't have enough insurance to cover a disaster. That sounds like a disaster in itself, John. Welcome back to the program.
Yay. Thanks for having me, Emilio. And yeah, it's something that is definitely a concern right now amongst a lot of the insurance carriers that we work with and any client that, is checking up on their insurance policy. If they might have bought their home or signed up for insurance maybe 4 or 5 years ago, inflation is possibly to blame for why some homeowners don't have enough insurance to cover a disaster. And we've talked about this in previous segments about how inflation is impacting the cost of homeowners insurance. And that's for sure something that's happening. The costs are increasing for just about everything. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the main point of this segment would be to, if you haven't in the last couple of years checked with your home insurance company and checked on the amount of coverage you have on your policy, you should definitely do that. I got some statistics here. There's an interesting article put out by Fox Business News the other day, and they said that over half of homeowners surveyed, 56%, said they hadn't reviewed their home insurance policy in the last year. And then among the 44% who did check their policy, most of them were unsure if their home's coverage limit was enough to cover their home's entire rebuild cost.
Mm-hmm.
And only 9% increased their coverage to account for inflation and rising costs in construction and materials. So overall, we've got a big potential problem here with a lot of folks that don't have enough insurance coverage. Now, I would say that it's one area where, yes, costs are going up, money's tight, but if you can afford to, this should be one of the first things that you're willing to spend a little extra money on, making sure you have the right insurance coverage, because mm-hmm. the potential for loss is that much, like, exponentially greater. You know, whatever you're thinking the downsides are of the cost on spending money now to make sure you have the right insurance coverage, the downside is way worse for the potential of having, you know, hundreds of thousands less than what you need for insurance. So I just found this to be extremely interesting, not to be super alarmist to the listeners out there, not trying to be on a high horse by any means and say that you definitely need to spend more money on your insurance. But at the same time, these statistics were pretty striking that, and it's not surprising that most homeowners haven't checked their home insurance in the last year. But what was surprising that of the ones that did check, most of them said that they weren't sure that they had enough coverage. So that means that, you know, most people don't really even have a great grasp of what their insurance coverage is and what means enough coverage. And all that means, you should definitely, if you haven't in the last year, contact an insurance agent or your insurance agent and ask them to do a review. Make sure that you have the right coverage on your policy. And that's the most important thing, most important message I can deliver today.
Nothing, John, there's nothing worse than if something were to happen, a fire or, if you're in a flood prone area and you don't have flood insurance or, I mean, anything at all. And if you're already in a tight spot with, you mentioned inflation, people are already in tight spots, and we're seeing a number of homeowners falling behind on certain bills and this and that, people that may have overextended. It's sad. So that's something I agree with you. You know, make sure that you are up to snuff with your insurance. And if you call, so John, if they were to call you, if they're working with you, if they were to call you, what do? You just do a review of their policy with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I always ask for, if you have it, a copy of your insurance policy now so I can see what you have for coverage. And I'll I'm not going to, what I tell everybody is I'm not just going to blindly copy and paste what you have for coverages and try to save you money for the same coverage. I'm going to start off fresh with a brand new set of quotes and recommendations for coverage based on what you should be having for insurance today, you know, because you very well might have gotten that policy 5 years ago and the costs to build are significantly more than they were 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we're always going to start with a fresh slate and, you know, have some opportunity to review what you had, what you could have. And I would say that it's not that uncommon for folks to be able to get a much better coverage package with a new company and either have the same price or small increase, or some folks even save money while getting more coverage. So overall, like way more bang for your buck, but it's without a doubt worth checking to make sure you have the right coverage and keep your options open when it comes to your homeowner's insurance. I think that we are in an industry where, unfortunately, price has become the name of the game, and especially in terms of the way that insurance companies market themselves. You know, if you're looking at any of the big TV ads and whatnot, usually it centers around price. There's only a handful of companies, I think, that try and stress coverage as the importance of the insurance, but most companies are really just telling you can save a buck by switching over to them. And I think that it's much more important to consider the alternative of, you know, what do I have for coverage? Start there, make sure that you're comfortable with the coverages you have, and then see what we can do about price.
Correct. You know, and I got to say, I personally use LaPointe Insurance as well as most all of our clients. We recommend LaPointe Insurance because of not only competitiveness and price, but also the service. You know, and I'm a type of person, John, where I would rather pay a little bit more to make sure I'm covered, make sure everything's done, make sure there's somebody there picking up the phone, okay, that I can understand, that I can speak with, that can help solve my local problems. That's huge to me. And I know that's huge to many others. So if that's
definitely, you
know, if it's the same price, or even if it's 5% more, whatever it is, I don't care. I'd rather get the quality over that. But you guys are ultra competitive anyways.
100%. It's we try and mirror process similar to yours, Emilio. Like when you meet with a client, the first questions you ask, like, sure, like a budget and a price range is part of that conversation. But it's really more about like, what are they looking for in a property, right? Mm-hmm. And what exactly are they trying, you know, especially on the buyer side, right? More similar to what we do. It's more about like, yeah, what they're looking for in a home. You know, they don't just say, oh, well, I want to buy it for $300,000. And then it's, you know, hey, well, here's a house that you don't want that doesn't fit your needs, but there's the Price is Right. You know, it's all about making sure you're finding what you're looking for first. And then we do our best at our job to try and negotiate for the best possible price we can get them.
Check them out, LaPointeINS.com, LaPointeINS.com. Go ahead and check your insurance needs. If you're already with John and LaPointe Agency, go ahead and make sure that you get up to snuff and make sure that they check your current policy. John, thanks so much for being here with us. We appreciate you. Great job.
Thank
Great
you.
Advice as always. John LaPointe, LaPointe Insurance at LaPointeINS.com. This is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show powered by LaPointe Insurance. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, your host for the rest of this hour. And we're talking about real estate, not only locally here in Rhode Island, surrounding Massachusetts and Connecticut, but also nationally and internationally. I'm excited to be a part of Engel & Völkers because our brand is global and we've got some really great resources and knowledge all over the globe and what's happening. You know, everything's compounding and one thing affects another. So with that said, I'd like to introduce our special guest today, and that's Anthony Hitt. Anthony is the CEO of Engel & Völkers Americas, and he's coming live to us today from Manhattan. Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Emilio. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure is mine. Thank you. So Anthony, recently, it was probably the beginning or towards mid-January, the Canadian government put what we call a ban, or what the media was calling a ban, on international buyers going in and purchasing homes in Canada. Okay, so this has created, there has been a lot of buzz around this, obviously a lot of hype behind this. It's a little misleading because you can buy certain homes if you're an international buyer. So I want you to have come on and shed some light on this situation. More importantly, though, is how has the Canadian real estate ban affected the Canadian market? We've got shops all over Canada.
And our shops are actually doing very well in Canada and surprisingly with a lot of non-Canadians. So I can share a little bit. First of all, in American politics, usually our politicians are either really are very good at how we name something. You're calling it the ban, but the actual name is even more fearsome. It's the Prohibition on the Purchase of Residential Property by Non-Canadians Act.
Wow.
Now, that pretty well sounds like there's no chance that you can buy something if you're not a Canadian in Canada. But that's actually not the case. There's actually several opportunities there for non-Canadians. And if you're a non-Canadian that's looking at maybe finally buying that ski cabin up in the ski country in Canada, this is not an issue for you. If you're looking at buying that little cottage in the cottage part of Canada, this is not an issue for you. As a matter of fact, it's an opportunity because a lot of people who are not as informed as somebody who is listening and paying attention to you might not be aware of. The ban only is for really the more populated areas, the dense areas. And it's only on specific types of property. So if you're looking at buying an income property in Canada, let's say four or more units, then you're also good to go. So there's really a lot of opportunity for Canadians right now because there's not as much competition from the outside. And I believe that's ultimately what the Canadian government was trying to do to cool things down a little bit. But there's other people who are not as informed that hear real estate ban or prohibition on the purchase of residential property by non-Canadians Act and think, oh, I missed my opportunity, but that is not the case. So they should definitely reach out to you or someone in Engel and Folkers and we'll walk them through the many opportunities there are to purchase in Canada right now, even for non-Canadians, even despite the Canadian real estate ban.
I love it. So how is this affecting the market here in the United States? Are we seeing maybe an influx of buyers that were like, well, you know what, now that we're banned, and if they didn't look into this thing, are they maybe moving now towards the United States or are they moving somewhere else?
We are seeing, I don't know that I can specifically relate it to the Canadian ban, but what we are seeing again is an uptick in citizens of the United States purchasing in the U.S. We're seeing more people coming from Europe again as the euro gets a little healthier. Mm-hmm. We are seeing Canadians coming back into the U.S. and buying in parts of the U.S. So the nice thing about the Canadian market, but also the U.S. market, is this is a very safe market. Relatively speaking, globally, people like investing and owning real estate in the United States. And now is a good time to be doing that. There's really never a bad time to be buying real estate in the United States. I guess there's the exception to that rule is if you're somebody who's buying spec, maybe it's a little more challenging right now. But if you're buying to live in the home or to be in that home for years with your family and enjoy a certain lifestyle, there's never a better time to buy real estate than there is right now.
Agreed. I mean, if you look at pricing over time with real estate, and I don't even mean to sound cliche or a broken record, but it's constantly going
it's
up.
It's always on the uprise. It ticks up and down a little bit, but it's kind of like the stock market. Unless you're selling,
yeah,
then it's probably not a big issue for you.
Yep. You know what I did, and this is right there with what we're talking about, is I looked at what my grandfather purchased a three-family for back in the 60s. In Bellingham, Massachusetts, okay? And then I put the numbers against inflation from today, and that dollar that he spent outpaced inflation by 6 times, Anthony.
Real estate has historically in the United States been a good investment for people who buy. Again, it's all about when you buy, and you really can't judge the best time to buy, but you can certainly judge the best time to sell. And sometimes you can get a little hurt if you sell at the wrong time, but if you're buying to live in an area, a certain lifestyle with your family, then there's never going to be a bad time to buy real estate. You're probably going to be okay. It might go up faster and it may go up slower. But the area that you're in is an area that things have been pretty stable, and the market's probably had its peak. But it's also probably a good time to be getting into the market there.
Yeah, actually, I got to say prices are still on the rise here in Rhode Island. Yep. We still have people pouring in from Boston, from New York. I had a couple in the shop yesterday from San Francisco, and people are coming here.
Yeah, I think what people hear, and this is one thing about real estate that's so important, people listen to the national news and they hear the national story, and everything sounds like it's just absolutely, you know, the real estate market is in the tank. But, you know, real estate, and I know this also sounds cliche, is like the weather. There is no average weather in the United States. Yeah. You know, the weather in your market is really all you care about. And again, yes, maybe the market's not going to go up 10 or 20% over the next year. So if you were somebody trying to buy in that, you probably missed out on that. But is the market probably going to continue to go up 2, 3, 4, 5 points over the next year? That's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities.
Agreed, especially when you're looking at states with waterfront. You know, oceanfront properties seem to always be going up, right? And there's a limited amount of space on the water that you can build.
And waterfront properties are still very attractive. All the resort areas are still very attractive. People are wanting to go there. And what's nice is they are settling a little bit. So for a buyer who's looking to finally buy in one of these places in the United States or Canada for that matter, you know, the prices are not on that rise, that, you know, that meteoric rise that we saw post-pandemic or pandemic and post-pandemic. We're not in that same situation. So there's real opportunities out there.
Correct. You know, Anthony, I'm curious if you know of any type of website or resource in where somebody, a real estate advisor, a real estate agent somewhere, can get the migration patterns of international buyers. Is there anything of like that that you know?
Again, it's going to sound cliche, but anybody who's in this business should probably be a member of the National Association of Realtors. Yeah. And the National Association puts out some really good information, statistical information and other data. Angle & Volkers has EVI that we've been working on for the last year. So hopefully we'll be putting out some of our own proprietary data very, very soon. But ultimately, if you're somebody looking for good information, you know, connect with an Angle & Volkers advisor in whatever market you're in. And they should be the experts in the market. They should be able to tell you what's going on in their market and then help you navigate through whatever those conditions are.
Yeah, absolutely. I know on a local level or in the United States, we use howmoneywalks.com. That's a really great website. And it takes IRS data and shows you where folks are moving back and forth from. So you can select your county and it shows where you've gained wealth, where you've lost wealth. And then we also use, I got this from Engel & Volkers. It's fantastic. We go to the airport, we see the top flights in and out.
I'm a big believer in using the airline. How Money Walks. So I love, that's why I like joining you on your show. I mean, you know, I always learn something. I'm actually writing my notes right now here. See How Money Walks. I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely. So check that out. It's really good. Now, Anthony, let me switch gears for a second. Okay. You've been at this for a while. You were a real estate agent yourself. You were one of the top real estate agents for one of the other top firms in the world. And you know, you were in the trenches, you did this. So you understand the ups, the downs of markets and whatnot. In a lot of markets across, let's just say the United States right now, you're finding that real estate has simmered down a bit. Prices have kind of balanced off, if not in some places gone down, and the amount of transactions have dropped. What advice would you give a real estate agent that's really just doing everything they can to stay afloat right now?
Keep doing what you're doing. Consistency is how you win in this game. Consistently doing the right things over time is how you're going to be successful. You know, I weathered, you know, several down markets, including the one in 2007, 2008. And I came out of that market stronger than I'd ever been. And I'd been pretty strong before that. Yeah. The reality is there will be a lot of agents who get out of this business and already have or in the next year or so. Yeah. And that is, in my mind, a good thing, because the agents who are getting out of this business are the ones who don't do enough business, which means they probably don't have enough experience, which means they're not probably providing the level of expertise and experience that they should be to their clients. We know that people pay a lot for real estate services and they should get what they're entitled to. And that is an experienced agent. So what usually happens in a market like this is those agents, advisors in our brand do better work. Other people will get out of the business and they'll actually do more. So there's an opportunity for you If you're an agent not doing better right now or getting better right now, you probably should be focused a little more on building relationships out there, because there's definitely opportunity. There's definitely business to be done.
Yeah, absolutely, Key. I love that. Staying consistent is huge. Go out, get back to the basics, knock on doors, cold call, network. That's number one.
And build relationships.
Make sure you're always learning. You know, one last thing I tell all of our advisors here in Rhode Island, Anthony, is I tell them, listen, shut the radio off when you're in the car. Listen to audiobooks. Make yourself better. Use that windshield time to learn how to either market your properties, yourself. Do whatever you can to really just rise above the rest and just be a student of the game.
Too. Except for this program, of course.
Yeah, right? Don't shut this off.
No, I think the noise that's out there is, whether it's in this business, in this industry, or just in the political environment is very distracting. And the fact of it is, most of that noise is created by people who are paid to make noise, to get us amped up, and to get us to frankly lose focus on what we probably need to be focused on. So I completely agree. Turn off that noise. Be very conscientious of what it is you're putting into your head.
I love it. I got to say, Anthony, I admire what you've done with Engel & Völkers since you've taken leadership back in, I think, 2014. I've been a part of this company for two and a half years now. And I mean, it's taken my advisors and I to brand new heights. And it's a really powerful, beautiful network that you've built here. I'm super excited to be a part of it. And I'm honored to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. And we are certainly glad that you're a part of our family as well.
Thank you, Anthony. Good stuff. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Anthony Hitt, CEO of Engel & Völkers Americas. Anthony, I'll see you at EVX.
See you in Miami.
Enjoy your day. You bet. Thank you so much. Great stuff. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to be right back here in a couple of minutes. This is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, powered by Engel & Völkers. All right. On the line with us, we've got Jennifer Jaber of RIblogger.com. Jennifer's here with us every week to talk about the top five events happening here in Rhode Island. Check it all out, riblogger.com. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. What's happening out there?
Well, if you're looking to make Mondays a little bit more exciting, you can head to Narragansett Brewing in Providence from 7 to 9 p.m. for Monday Night Trivia. And it's every Monday night for quite a while. So if you can't do it right away, definitely think about getting there. There's five rounds of trivia covering a wide range of topics, and winners go home with some great prizes. And of course, you can sample their great beers while you're there. And I think they typically have some food trucks on site. So makes, you know, start the week off with a little more fun. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night flight nights return from 3 to 8 at Taproot Brewing in Newport Vineyards. There'll be $12 flights of wine or beer, plus a rotating board of house-made complimenting pairings by executive chef Andy. There'll be spiked hot cocoa, board games, and seats by the fire pits on the terrace. And there are limited amount of blankets, but you can bring your own blanket if you want to get cozy on the terrace. And again, that's Wednesday nights. So these are kind of, those two are just repeating events that if you can't get there right away, you'll have time to get there. Mm-hmm. This sounds delicious. The 2023 cookies and cocktails will be on March 9th at the Crown Plaza in Warwick. It's 5:30 to 8:30, and chefs from some of your favorite local restaurants will showcase their talents with special desserts and cocktails using everyone's favorite treat, Girl Scout cookies. Along with tasting desserts, there'll be heavy appetizers, silent and live auctions, live music, and proceed support programs focused on making Girl Scouts accessible to all who want to participate. So it's also a good cause. Saturday, March 11th is the St. Patrick's Day Parade breakfast buffet at the Brick Alley Pub in Newport. And that starts at 8 a.m. Regular menu is available at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. But it also coincides, of course, with the Newport St. Patrick's Day Parade, which kicks off at 11. It's a fun and vibrant parade if you haven't been. And it is literally held rain, snow, or shine, because I think I've been to it in every possible weather. It's about 2 hours long and features marching bands, fife bands, local organizations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know, your typical community parade, but it's a great one.
Awesome.
And last but not least, Saturday, March 11th is also the Poshin Second Annual St. Patrick's Day Stroll at the Hope Artist Village in Pawtucket from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can come and celebrate St. Patrick's Day in style with your pup and get a free treat bag with any purchase. And there'll be a free selfie booth. All pets must be leashed and, of course, friendly. And this event is hosted by Poshin Designer Pet Clothing. So it's a great way if you want to get out there with your four-legged friends if they behave, unlike mine.
Mine too. Fantastic. And you can check it all out at riblogger.com. Don't forget, you can go ahead and submit your events there as well. And if you're a local business and you want to find out more about their wonderful advertising opportunities, make sure to reach out to Jennifer at riblogger.com. Jennifer, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Great. What an awesome show today. I'd like to thank Zach Levake of North Point Bank for coming on, talking about the rate environment, where things are going, as well as Anthony Hitt, the CEO of Engel & Völkers Americas. What a guy. This guy is extremely knowledgeable, extremely reputable, keeps popping up on the people to know lists throughout the industry, and is a true leader and innovator. Also, Jennifer Jaber with riblogger.com and John LaPointe of LaPointe Insurance. And most importantly, you, our listeners, for making this show number one week after week, all about real estate here in Rhode Island. I'm Emilio. And you know what? Andrew, our producer, Bill, our station manager. I can't forget about these guys. Keep the show running. And AJ, our video editor, send a shout out to him too. But give me a shout if I could be of any help to you, 401-359-2338. Maybe you want to know your home value. Maybe you want to buy. Maybe you want to refinance. Maybe you need something. I'm here for you. Again, 401-359-2338. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. I'm signing off. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thank you.